Christians are not wimps. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us that God and we together cannot handle. And to the extent that we believe that, then we don't have to take on the week in such a scary way, or frightened, or overwhelmed, or depressed, or disappointed, or hesitant. We can take on the week with real enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, God in us, that's what the word literally means. With the power of God, as we hear so often in the scriptures, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. So we live every day, especially Mondays, because there's such a transitional day, we live every day claiming the power of God in our life. To the extent we do that, we won't necessarily have an easy day. God never promised us our life would be easy. He promised that our life would be good. He promised that our life would be filled with His presence, that amazing grace that we sing about. He promised that He'd be there for us. Always remember, if God would forget us for a millisecond, that's 1,000th of a second, if God would forget us for a millisecond, we would go out of existence. So therefore, God is with us. And we can take on this day, this week, the rest of our lives with confidence, trusting in God. So we continue reflecting on different passages from Scripture, from the Gospels. And I'm going to spend some time this week on different Beatitudes. I'm going to share the Beatitudes from Matthew's Gospel. And what I want to share with you today is the very simple line that says, "Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth." And right away what I need to talk about is what does the word meek mean? Because so often, and I referred to that in the introduction to the program, so often in our country, meek means wimp. And that's not what meekness is. Let me give you a great definition of meekness. Meekness is power held in reserve, okay? A meek person is not a person who doesn't have power. A meek person knows when to use his or her power in the appropriate situation with the right use of power. You know, the first time that the Spider-Man movie came out, twice in that movie, the line was used, "With great power comes great responsibility." No, Christians are not wimps. Christians are people who claim the power of God in their life, who exercise the power of God in their life, who know when to use the power, when not to use the power. And of course, that immediately brings up the whole topic of passivism. When I'm working with grade school students, especially junior high students, I ask them if they know what the word Pacific means, and I immediately refer to Pacific Ocean. It's surprising how many of them don't, but those who do say, well, Pacific means peaceful. Okay. So what does passivism mean? That means people use a peaceful approach to resolving conflict. And then I have to talk about what does it mean to turn the other cheek. And turning the other cheek, that teaching of Jesus, one of those dramatic teachings that grabs our attention right away, needs to be done in an appropriate way. Not because we're wimps, but because we know that there are times when to respond with a great deal of violence only makes the situation worse. We turn the other cheek because we're not afraid of bullies. Bullies need to see fear in us. That's what I teach the young people when I'm giving them a class on what does it mean to be meek. You know, if bullies do not see fear in us, they don't have, they don't get as much pleasure out of trying to intimidate us. But the Christian church is not a pacifist church. Catholic church is not a pacifist church. Perhaps there are some denominations among Christian churches who are pacifists. We think immediately of Quakers, or we think of the Amish. But the Catholic Church believes in self-defense. We believe in coming to the aid of other people who are being attacked. We believe that our response should be a moderate, that we should never be the aggressor. We believe in a just war theory, although that becomes harder and harder to apply because, as Martin Luther King Jr. once said, our choices are no longer between violence and nonviolence. We now have the weapons, so now our choices are between nonviolence and nonexistence. I think there is a place for teaching pacifism both in our religious education programs as well as in our Catholic schools. But in teaching this, it's very important, especially in working with boys, that we do not give them the impression that to be meek is to be a doormat for anybody's abuse. I can't imagine Jesus saying that we need to do that. Jesus' case is unique, right? He did allow himself to be tortured, carry a cross, and die on the cross to save us from our sins. Because he's the savior of the world, right? But for us to be doormats for abuse, I don't believe that's what Jesus wants. I don't believe Jesus wants anybody to stay in an abusive relationship. And to use the phrase or use it as a form of counseling somebody to stay in an abusive relationship by quoting, "Blessed are the meek," or "turn the other cheek," I think is a misapplication of what the gospel is trying to tell us. I think the gospel wants us to live in peace with people, wants us to always attempt reconciliation if that's possible, wants us to definitely forgive, because if we don't forgive, we will not get into heaven. But there are times when to exercise meekness means to exercise power. Power of persuasion. Power of stopping a person in a nonviolent way from hurting himself or someone else. It's very hard, especially going back to working with young people, it's very hard to get young people, young boys, to appreciate that pacifism does work on occasion. Let me give you two examples. Mahatma Gandhi brought the British Empire to its knees using pacifist means of resistance, nonviolent resistance. That's true also when we talk about bringing an end to segregation in the United States, when Martin Luther King and other people use nonviolent forms of resistance. One of the things we always have to remember is that meekness needs to be seen and considered in light of the big picture, right? So the big picture always involves the afterlife. You know, if our lives ended when we go out of when we die here on earth, and that's it, then a lot of the things that Christianity teaches would sound totally, utterly bizarre, even to those who follow Jesus Christ. But since our whole faith is based on the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead, he turned history upside down, he brought hope to a world by showing that there is a life after death, then whenever we talk about any issue, especially a controversial issue, it's very, very important that we talk about it in the context of the bigger picture. So that the meekness that we show, the power held in review and reserve, that meekness is a reflection of taking a nonviolent stand whenever we can to problem solving. And I think if more and more people would take that approach, consistently take that approach, there would be less and less war in our world. Sometimes I hear women say that if they ran the world, there would be less war because women talk things through. They won't stop until the issue has been talked through completely. Whereas men quit talking and next thing they know, they turn violent. But women will talk it and talk it and talk it and talk it until it's resolved. So I think the world can learn a wonderful lesson from women in as regards to not throwing a punch right away because you're frustrated because you're not winning the argument. That's a sign of weakness if the way you want to win the argument because you're not winning it by discussing it through that your points don't carry the validity that the other side does, that now you want to throw a punch. That's a sign of real weakness. So we allow God now to bless us. We're being told we're blessed if we take a position of power held in reserve, a position of meekness in dealing with problems between nations, in dealing with family or neighborhood conflict. And in doing that, of course, God will bless us. Now, having said all that, let me tell you who I want you to pray for today. I want you to pray for SWAT teams. SWAT teams are the specially trained policemen who are called in when the situation is violent or could turn violent very quickly, when there's great danger or people being held as hostages. Well, obviously, the SWAT team has to practice what I've been talking about in the program today. They have to practice meekness. They have to keep their power in reserve and use it in an appropriate way. So we ask, dear God, would you please, please bless those policemen who are assigned to the SWAT teams. May you keep them safe from harm, and may you give them great wisdom so that they know when they need to respond in a nonviolent way. And of course, Jesus, I ask this in your powerful name. Amen. Today's food for thought, again, this is so appropriate. I don't know who wrote this, but this is good. Anger is a condition in which the tongue works faster than the mind. And you know, whenever that happens, there's going to be problems. Now let me see if I can make you smile or laugh with today's attempt at humor, okay? A preacher who, shall we say, was humor impaired, attended a conference to help encourage and better equip pastors for their ministry. Among the speakers were many well-known and dynamic speakers. One such boldly approached the pulpit and, gathering the entire crowd's attention, said, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that was not my wife." The crowd was shocked. He followed up by saying, "And that woman was my mother." The crowd burst into laughter and delivered the rest of his talk, which went over quite well. The next week, the pastor decided he'd give this humor thing a try and use that joke he heard in his sermon. As he surely approached the pulpit that sunny Sunday, he tried to rehearse the joke in his head. It suddenly seemed a bit foggy to him. Getting to the microphone, he said loudly, "The greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman that was not my wife." The congregation inhaled half the air in the room. After standing there for almost 10 seconds in the stunned silence, trying to recall the second half of the joke, the pastor finally blurted out, "And I can't remember who she was." Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Some of your prayer intentions, let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. Just let me know you listened to the program. And certainly if you can send me a check to keep my hospital alive and well and helpful to the poor in Oaxaca, Mexico, you make the check out to TASH. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.